Today's Holy Gospel from Luke gives us a powerful portrait of God's only Son, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, telling those who ask him point blank who will go to heaven. He surprises many by telling them three things. There's only one way to heaven. Not everyone will get there. And don't wait too long. It just may be too late. That's a scary gospel. But it's the truth. These are not messages that are meant to be a part of a feel-good gospel for many. These are messages that are convicting and thought-provoking. But unfortunately, many often push these messages under the rug or customize them to their liking so that in their minds, everyone gets in. Jesus was very clear in this message, and he made those three points. The first, there's only one way. To me, it's heartbreaking. And I mean that sincerely when I hear people say that there is more than one way to heaven, or that Jesus is a way, but not the way. I do believe that the words from Proverbs 16, verse 25 are fitting, that say, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We're surrounded by people who believe in a whole lot of things, and many who think that they believe in Jesus. Only it's a different Jesus. The Jesus who is God's Son spoke plainly with certainty that there is only one way to the Father. On the night before he died in the upper room with the disciples, as recorded in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In these words, there's no room for interpretation or dissection. Jesus said it so you can believe it. There's no wiggle room, no twisting and contorting of the meaning to fit some progressive agenda. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Luke reminds us of this fact in his writing in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus fulfills all the Scriptures. Jesus died on the cross, and because of that, he saved humanity. Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus is the only way to heaven. And these points, my friends, are non-negotiable. Plain and simple, if you don't believe that, then you are not a Christian. If these points are not part of your belief, then honestly, I don't see how you could possibly call yourself a Christian. My daughter Teresa, when she was younger, often reminded me of one of her favorite Bible verses, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus was asked about the way to heaven. He replied, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. And you know that this was not the first time that Jesus spoke in these terms. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus unmistakably laid the way for us, saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Complete and eternal rest can only be found in him. Jesus further explained in Matthew 7:14, saying that the way would not be an easy one. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. The truth is undeniable. Jesus is the way to heaven. He's not one of many, or an alternative route that complies with political correctness, or the culture of the day, which allows inclusivity, trying to not make people feel left out. And there's one certain thing. Jesus is certainly the target of the modern agenda, a politically correct, multicultural agenda driven by sympathy for the marginalized, an agenda that says diversity is always good, truth is not firm, but instead negotiable. I believe my truth and you believe your truth, and why can't we all get along? And every opinion is equally legitimate. I almost drive off the road when I see that sign over by the hospital that is filled with rainbow colors. And you know the sign I'm talking about. Truly following the Jesus of Scripture, and not a Jesus who has been sculpted by the whims and agendas of society, means that we need, as followers, as believers in Him, we need to do three things. Seek Him and call on Him. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the second thing, so submit to Him and surrender your will to Him. John 3:16 is very clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And the third thing, share your faith in Him. Make your faith in Him public. Matthew 10:32. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I'm sure you've all heard of Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb, an all-time baseball great and Hall of Famer, was born in Narrows, Georgia, which is just northwest of Atlanta. I had to look it up. Since we're all Georgians, I had to check it out. And he's, of course, known as the Georgia Peach. He played in 3,033 consecutive games. And for 12 years, he led the American League in batting averages. Incredibly, for four seasons, he batted over 400. He was possibly the meanest and most unlikable man ever to play the game of baseball. He used to sharpen his spikes so that when he slid into a base, he would really leave his mark and maybe knock the second baseman, the shortstop, or the third baseman out of the game. With all this, on his deathbed, July 17, 1961, a transformation took place. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said this, "You tell the boys I'm sorry it was the last part of the ninth that I came to know Christ. I wish it had taken place in the first half of the first." What awesome hope that instantly makes me remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It didn't matter if you begin at the end of the day, the 11th hour, or you began at dawn. The reward was the same. And that's good news, knowing that Jesus Christ means salvation. But here's Jesus' second point. Not everyone will go to heaven. Would you believe that not everyone that wants to go to heaven will? It has to be on God's terms and not ours. And the evidence is overwhelming. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I want to tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish." There's that word again that makes so many people uncomfortable. Repent. Matthew 18:3, Jesus told his disciples, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Another uncomfortable word for some people, change. "Well, I don't want to change." In Matthew 19, 23, and 24, Jesus once again spoke to his disciples. And he said, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Riches don't mean coin in your pocket, but about who and what you put first. The Apostle John warned us about non-believers and skeptics who would try to stack the deck with false evidence against Jesus. Don't we find that around us today? How many movies do you see? Like, remember the Da Vinci Code, where everything was brought to show that Jesus was not the Son of God? And then there were those Gnostic Gospels which came out of nowhere, the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, which when the truth came out, they were written hundreds of years after Jesus walked this earth. How could they have been written by Thomas or by Mary Magdalene? And they tried to poke holes in the real Gospels of Jesus. In 1 John 5:10 through 12, Jesus said, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. And because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Just try watching some of the documentaries on the History Channel or National Geographic, and you hear, if these documentaries are supposed to be about Jesus Christ, you hear dozens of authorities, John Dominic Crossan and Elaine Pagels. I don't know what they believe, but they are clueless about the truth of Jesus Christ and who Jesus of Nazareth really is. A 1991 Gallup poll showed 78% of Americans expect to go to heaven, but many of them never pray, never read the Bible, or hardly ever attend church. The people who answered this poll admitted that they like to please themselves rather than God. So tell me, how do you think they're going to heaven? Osmosis? It's the same fantasy that many have when they claim to have lived a good life. But without Jesus in their life, the Jesus of Scripture, and not some new and improved invention or interpretation either, I'm afraid that once again the evidence is overwhelming. People think that they're going to heaven, but have not admitted that they are sinners or that they need a Savior. They either don't believe that there's such a thing as sin, or they don't believe in the consequences of their actions. I only need to look at Romans 6:23, which is crystal clear. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to agree with me. You can see where I'm going with this. Jesus is the way. I'm afraid that unless you admit that you're a sinner, turning away from sin in repentance and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, then the wages of that sin is eternal death without Jesus. Without God, you see, sin is high treason against the holy God. It's like a clenched fist shoved in the face of God Almighty. And sin is a closed heart. It's difficult to think that there might be someone in your family, someone you work with, that might just be going through the motions, saying that they believe, but are living a life that is just the opposite. Well, I'm here today to tell you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but here's the message. Today is the day, and now is the time for each one of us to pray that their eyes and hearts would be opened. That those people who are not seeing Jesus as Savior would freely give themselves in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to Titus, he said, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, Nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. And Jesus' third and final point is this. Do not wait too long. It just may be too late. Going to church is not enough. Being sincere is not enough. Being a good person is not enough. Being religious is not enough. Following is not submitting. Look at Jesus' words from today's Holy Gospel, Luke 13, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you'll stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I do not know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Here were people who had been following Jesus, ate with him, listened to him, but may not truly have heard what he said, or it had no impact on them. Another reason might have been that it was just the popular thing to do, to follow the one who claimed that he was the Messiah, and they thought that they would be covered merely by association. Sadly, I believe, we might find that attitude in many churches and youth groups today. Jesus told us that a lackadaisical attitude would never cut it, that we need to be alert and be ready. In his parable of the 10 bridesmaids, he told of these women, they were unprepared, they wanted to borrow oil from others, and he didn't take it seriously, and then they had to leave to buy oil for their lamps. And when the bridegroom arrived, they were not there. And when they came later to the banquet, the door was closed. They begged to get in, but they were told, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Matthew 25, verse 12. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want a truly remarkable relationship with Jesus for all eternity, make today the day and now the hour that you repent of your sins, you turn away from them forever, and turn to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life before the door is closed. In Mark 13, Jesus said, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Friends, Jesus is holding open the gate of the kingdom of God and urging people to enter. And he said the door isn't very wide and it will take real commitment to get in. One day, and not very long from now, that door will shut. And it will be too late. Keep in mind that to truly know Jesus Christ and to enter through the narrow gate, you must do three things. Seek him and call on him. Submit to him. Surrender your will to him. And share your faith in him. Make your faith in him public. Jesus, the narrow gate, is the entrance to the pasture of the Good Shepherd. And it's my prayer that the words of Psalm 95, verse 7, lift your hearts and lead each one of us today. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.